Also, J.C. Treader and the NFLPA, we'll get into that. You know, he's going to resign. There's all kinds of stuff going on with...
That union keeps getting in the way of things, doesn't it?
You know, it's just funny. We have this conversation. I know I'm being really nitpicky on this. I don't look at an association of millionaires as a union.
They do.
But are they really? They're a players' association. A union, to me, strives to make sure that plumbers, electricians, sheet metal workers, pipe fitters, laborers, have healthy working conditions and are able to make money enough to, you know, to feed their families. When we have associations of millionaires, there are players' associations.
Most of them aren't, Andy. They're young guys trying to scrape out a career, make some money, and then go on to work in their life's work.
All right. Well, you want to have the ultimate conversation? I'll give you this, right? If the NFLPA, let's just say someone went on strike at the stadium, one of these unions decided to go, would the Players Association honor that or not?
You'd have
honor
to ask them.
Honor the picket line?
I think no.
No way. But as they did when they had holdouts and they were going to bring in non-union players at one point, they sure asked the building trades here in Northeast Ohio to honor that when that was going on here before. To me, I look at the association of millionaires that are playing sports for the most part and compare them to folks that are, you know, coming in and making sure that you have water in your house. I think there's a difference there. So, but anyway, that's just me and I'm being on my little soapbox there.
They call themselves a union and
they really
union dues and everything else.
Yeah, I don't really think they're a union. They are a union.
Sure,
yeah, I guess.
I'm sure by the legal definition of the word union, they are a union.
It's obvious things are currently messy for the union. That's what Mike Florio said. All right, I'll give it to you. He's a lawyer, but I think it's a much different world, but that's okay. All right, so let's talk a little bit about NFL training camp as we get set here for what's about to happen with training camp. First of all, what are you looking forward to in the Browns training camp, Jeff?
I'm sorry. I'm really looking forward to watching the quarterback battle.
Oh, that's unique. I
forgive me. I'm also waiting to see if anybody on the offense can step up and help at the skill positions. Jerry Jeudy is, just because Jerry Jeudy is the best wide receiver the Browns have, doesn't make him, you know, like top 10 in the NFL, because I think Jerry is very competent and very good. But, you know, it's not like he's going to make anybody forget Justin Jefferson, despite the initials being the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see somebody else step up. I like Cedric Tillman a lot. I hope Deontay Johnson can find it again. He was very good when he was in Pittsburgh, and I don't know what happened. I don't know if he knows what happened, but hopefully he can get it together. So that would be huge. I wonder if Harold Fanning can become a real weapon. I hope so. I think it would be a real nice plus for the team. And I want to see Dylan Sampson, if you want to know the truth. If Quinshon Judkins can't be there for whatever reason, I want to see what Dylan Sampson can do.
It's going to be interesting with Dylan Sampson and Jerome Ford. And now I think Pierre Strong probably has a much better
chance of hanging onto a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always liked Pierre. And it's the chicken and the egg. I've always thought that he deserved more carries. Well, if they thought he did, he'd get them. So maybe he's not showing enough to show that he deserves more carries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What would he do with more carries? Maybe nothing. Because they don't give them to him. But I think he has some ability, and I would love to see what he can do.
I mean, obviously, I've talked about this before, too, what I was looking forward to. I want to see Harold Fannin Jr. Just beyond the quarterbacks. Everyone wants to see the quarterbacks. I'm right there. I'm in line with you. I want to see what happens. I think Dylan Sampson was in line for carries anyway, whether Quinshon Judkins was here. And I thought, you know, you're looking at I think we're all hoping you got a Mack and Biner feeling there with Sampson and Judkins, but we're not going to see that early on. So, and
you know, everybody's talking about Sampson being the change of pace guy, you know, like the prototypical third down type of back.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the right use of him. You know, I wonder if it's not a better situation if they go Detroit and alternate series, you know, with like Gibbs and David Montgomery. I wonder if Sampson is that kind of a player more so than being the third down guy who comes in and catches passes. He showed in college that he can really run the football.
Yeah,
and he runs it between the tackles.
He didn't get the chance to do it in the game we all wanted to see him do it in, though. That's the problem for Sampson. You know, if he doesn't pull his hamstring against Vandy, then we're not talking about. I still want. Is he going to be okay? Is he healthy? I mean, I just want to see what he looks like in a game. I understand, you know, he's been here for rookie camp. I understand he's been here all week, but. And I think Sampson's going to have an unbelievable opportunity to make himself the feature back early on in the season. I don't think there's any question. You know, they drafted him. He was outstanding college running back. I'm still bummed that he just, you know, he wasn't himself against Ohio State there, and then didn't even play in the second half in that game. So,
you know, he does have a great opportunity, Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, he can – but when Judkins is able to take the football field, he's going to get every opportunity.
I think so,
but Sampson
too.
Has a chance, I think, while Judkins is out, to establish the type of role, and I keep referring to what they have in Detroit, I think he has a chance to establish that kind of a role where maybe you alternate series with guys and, you know, hey, this series, I'm the number one running back. I'm out here the whole time, as they do in Detroit with Jahmyr Gibbs and David
Montgomery. Don't you feel like he's the number one running back now, though?
No, I think Jerome Ford is.
It's gonna be that'll be a battle that plays out then during the preseason, because he's now has the opportunity to try to win that if he can take it away from Jerome. Again, it goes back to maybe a little bit of the same philosophy you would use with the quarterbacks. Who do you trust? You know, Kevin knows exactly what he's getting in Jerome Ford. He's had the opportunity since he's been here.
And Jerome has been certainly competent, and so I don't have any qualms if Jerome Ford is out there on the
field. And I give Jerome Ford credit for redoing his contract to say, yeah, I do want to be a part of this. I want to stick around. And it may not be exactly what he wanted, but he's got a home.
Okay. Yeah,
there's a little bit of loyalty there. I know loyalty doesn't matter, but
I think
it does matter.
Honestly, Andy, I don't mean to poo-poo what you said on this, but
yes, you do.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Great. To me, in what Jerome Ford did doesn't mean I want to be a Cleveland Brown. It means I want to guarantee as much money as I can. If you guys cut me, and because they would have had he not, you know, redone his deal, I don't know that I'm going to get that somewhere else. So I'll take it, and then I'll hopefully work my you-know-what off and get out of here next year and make more money.
Could have tested the waters, though. He could have left.
Well, he could have, except, you know, guaranteed money is guaranteed money, pal.
I'm with you. So, again, if prioritizing beyond the quarterbacks, it's Njoku and Fannin. I want to see what they look like with a two tight end set for the Browns. DeJuan Jones now obviously has the chance to solidify everything that we've ever wanted for him at left tackle. I want to see how healthy the offensive line is, and I want to see how much better they are than a year ago. It is interesting to hear people talk about how the coaching change on that offensive line, and Andy Dickerson's taken a ton of heat for the way that offensive line performed. Plus, you've got Zach Zinter and Luke Whipler just kind of knocking on the door to see if they're going to be the future on the offensive line. So I think that's another place where it's not like those guys aren't going to play during the regular season, but it's still going to be another opportunity for them to solidify their future with the team. Especially, I mean, Whipler was a 6th-round pick. Zinter was a 3rd-round pick. So, and, you know, Zinter's been here since 24. Defensively, is there a battle that's kind of, you know, our defensive backs are pretty much set. So,
no, you know what I want to see though, Andy. I'm excited about Mason Graham in the middle of that defensive line.
Yeah, I am too. I am too.
And I think he could be huge. You know, this regime, and I think they've done a pretty solid job of it. I think this regime based itself at defensive tackle for the most part on signing veteran free agents. We've seen a number of them over the years, different guys, Shelby Harris, you know, Dalvin Tomlinson, now Malik Collins. And I think they've done a pretty good job with that. I really do. They've filled those holes well. But the last 2 years, they've invested in that position with young guys, Mike Hall, and now this year, Mason Graham. And I hope Mike Hall is healthy enough to get on the football field and then is able to keep himself on the football field by not getting into trouble. And if you can put Hall and Graham together and they're as good as we think they're going to be, I thought Michael Hall played well when he was out there last year. That could get really, really good. And that could just turn Myles Garrett loose like crazy. So I'm anxious to see Mason Graham. I also think Carson Schlesinger has to come in and be good, because without JOK in the linebacking core, you're going to need good play at the linebacker spots and all the spots. So no matter where they line Schlesinger up, he's going to have to be good, I think, because you know, if we ever see JOK on the football field again, Andy, I'm beginning to be, the thought is I'd be surprised. You know, serious, serious injury. So the top two picks have to be good.
And we're going to bring in Mike Fleurer in a second. I'm still haunted, maybe because I just did an interview last night on this. The 4.5, 5.5 win. Did I mention who it was?
No, but I did an interview last night on a Sunday. My opinion was so necessary, they had to call me on the weekend.
You know, it's crazy because other people do shows on the weekend, Jeff. Not all of us can work, 4 days a week. So, although I've been doing a good job of that lately. People do shows on Sundays, and I'm happy to help.
5 days a week. I don't know what you're talking about.
People do shows on the weekends. If someone called you and said you'd do an interview on the weekend, you wouldn't do it because it's the weekend?
No days off.
There you go.
That's what I think.
Is that what you tell them?
No days off.
Depends on who it is.
You're too good for some shows. Is that what you're saying?
It's somebody I know. And I can help them out, sure.
What if it's somebody you don't know? What if it's CBS Sports? I'm just saying, they happen to call you and say, Jeff, we need someone to talk about the Browns. Is there any chance you could hop on our show?
Well, I've done it before, so I'd probably do it again.
But on the weekends?
If I'm sitting on my butt and not doing anything else, yeah.
Wow. Anyway, Adam. Adam Kaufman. It was a guy who's done our show before.
Ding!
And he's a really nice guy. It was in Boston for a long time.
Well, that's
Boston.
Nice.
All right, anyway.
I don't have a need to flap my gums incessantly.
It's not about flapping my gums. It's about being able to make sure we get people to flap their gums on our show. That's why I do it. So I just want you to
know. You're the best.
I just want you to know.
Just
that.
Ask you.
Yeah, you just ask yourself, my friend.
A little bit of news, gentlemen. Mike Brown speaking to the media today, the owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, on the Trey Hendrickson potential deal. Quote,
I'm trading him to the Browns. No?
I think I'll get it done.
Of course you will. You will.
I think it'll get done.
Mike Florio next, Baskin and Phelps.